Hey y'all, this is Epiphany and welcome to Voice and Vine, a quiet space for the word to grow in you. Come and join me. So I want to share some reflections that I've had after reading some of the early chapters of Numbers, particularly about the Levites. And it brought me kind of back to, you know, all the way back to Genesis, obviously in Exodus as well, because as I'm reading in chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, it's like, okay, these are the same Levites, right, that Jacob seemingly, in my opinion, cursed in Genesis. And so, like, I'm having these questions, question marks. So once I have questions, I go down a rabbit hole and I start thinking and asking God to, you know, give me insight, illuminate this word for me. What does this mean? And how can I apply this to my life? And what does it show me about who God is? And so I would encourage you even to kind of, you know, not always just go past things as you read. If there is something that is coming to your memory from a previous text or just something that you've read, ask questions of the Lord. You know, if you do have a study Bible or a reference Bible, use those footnotes and all those things there to lead you to the answer. Because if you ask and you seek and you knock, you will find. And one of my favorite scriptures is Proverbs 9:10. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And he surely wants to give his children knowledge that want it and that diligently seek him. So back to what we're talking about. So in Numbers, for me, what I took away, the big takeaway, is the story of the Levites and how it's a reminder of how God can take what may seem like a flaw or even a family curse and transform it into something really sacred when we choose to draw near to him. So let's start by looking back at their origins. Now, Levi is the patriarch of this tribe. He had a reputation for violence. Now, you remember him and his brother Simeon in Genesis 34. They took brutal vengeance on the men of Shechem for violating their sister Dinah. And this kind of act of uncontrolled anger and rage and violence led Jacob to declare on his deathbed in Genesis 49, verses 5 through 7, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their knives are vicious weapons. May I never enter their council. May I never join their assembly. For in their anger, they kill men, and on a whim, they hamstring oxen. Their anger is cursed, for it is strong in their fury, for it is cruel. I will disperse them throughout Jacob and scatter them throughout Israel. To me, that sounds like a prophetic curse. This is the father saying this about his children. And it might be a curse, but it also may just be a consequence. So, and that made me think, well, now I'm stirring up questions about the number of generations from Aaron all the way back to Levi, and thinking about the Old Testament, one of the commandments about punishing the children to the third or fourth generation. And so even if Levi didn't directly hate God or doesn't say that in the text, his actions were clearly against God's heart for justice and mercy. And so in the Ten Commandments, God warns that the sins of the fathers can affect their descendants for 3 to 4 generations. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 through 6, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their father's iniquity to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing faithful love to 1,000 generations of those who love and keep my commands. Interestingly enough, from Levi to Aaron and Moses is 3 generations. There's Levi, then there's Kohath, then there's Amram, and his sons Aaron and Moses are Levites. So just 3 generations from Levi's violent legacy to Aaron's consecration as the first high priest. It's almost like God was flipping the script, turning what seemed like a generational curse into a generational calling. And so when the Israelites fell into idolatry with the golden calf and that whole thing, Moses stood at the camp's entrance and called out, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." That's in Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. And it was the Levites, it says, if you read, the descendants of the same hot-blooded patriarch who stepped forward, they took a stand for God. They didn't even know what was about to come after. Moses called and they stood up. And really 10 toes down, because it really meant them turning those same swords that they've used for other things on their own people. And so this act of faithfulness in an instant really changed their legacy. So from then on, it says they were set apart as God's holy servants, chosen to guard his presence and represent his holiness to the people. And in my opinion, it's where it gets a little, you know, deeper, because the Levites didn't receive a land inheritance like the other tribes when you do read Numbers. And on the surface, it does kind of seem like a consequence or like a loss. Because when I read it, I was like, okay, well, wait, why didn't they get, you know, they're supposed to be special, and they are. And the more I thought and read, it's like, okay, this is a sort of divine protection from God. Because if you think about it, very early on, God made it clear that anyone who tries to come near the tent of meeting without being properly consecrated, meaning set apart, holy, will be put to death. That's in Numbers 3:10 and several places. They will be put to death. It's like, that's the theme. You stay out unless you're consecrated, or you will be put to death. So really, in essence, who's really a better guard of the holy place than the ones who had already proven that they are ready to act for better or for worse? They did it for Dinah. They did it for when Moses called and the golden calf incident. And so by placing the Levites around the tabernacle, scattered throughout the land, instead of giving them a single territory, because all the other descendants, they had their own set territory, and the Levites were supposed to be spread throughout the land. Okay. And so in my understanding, the way I feel like the Lord has led me to understand this, it's almost like God was protecting them from themselves. Because what if they had inherited like a specific or a concentrated piece of land? That same passion, that same rage, that same intense nature that led them to violence in their past really could have been a source of destruction for their people and self-destruction. But instead, they were given the high calling of being close to God's presence, continuously reminded of their purpose as set apart as God's own. And God didn't like strip them of a physical inheritance, so to speak. He really called them into a spiritual one. In Numbers 18:20, it says, "You have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance." So what sometimes feels like a loss or consequence is actually a way of God setting us apart for something greater, and more importantly, something holier. Because sometimes what is holy doesn't always even feel great. So I think the better word to use is something holier. God requires us to be holy, consecrated, set apart. We are not of this world, right? And so some questions or some things I want to leave you with. What character traits or past actions might God be calling you to redeem for his glory? Are there any generational patterns in your life that God might be flipping the script with, just like he did the Levites? And are you willing to let go of what the world sees as a loss to receive the spiritual inheritance God has for you? Because we know it's really only what we do for God that will last. Even I'm not going to get into like even the spiritual gifts, like all these gifts, like even those things have an end. It's only what we will do for Christ that will last. And hopefully, you know, sometimes we get the rewards in history while we're here on earth, like on some Psalms 27:13. But sometimes, you know, the rewards we get will be in eternity. And that's the goal anyway, to be with him eternally. But let me get back to the question. I got sidetracked. So how can you step into your calling like the Levites did, becoming a protector of God's presence in your life? And are you really ready to be set apart, even if that means walking a different path and what they may feel like or interpret as you turning their back on or against it? Are you willing to do that if it means walking a different path than those around you? Because, like I said, what sometimes feels like a loss or a consequence is actually God's way of setting us apart for something greater, but more importantly, the most important, something holier. All right, y'all. You've been listening to Voice and Vine. As you go, may the vine keep you, and may his voice grow something new in you. Brothers and sisters, until next time, abide, speak, bear fruit.